This is the Echo Network. A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
This week, we'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick and your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup.
Love letters, talking to the wall.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends. The best pizza in Kansas City and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson. I'm joined by Michael Engel. And Jeff Hur is out on assignment getting his pretty teeth looked at. And he'll be back with us next week. We're not sure who our guest will be next week. I've got a couple feelers out, but we will have one for you. This week, we're going to be joined here in just a few minutes by Joel Goldberg. We're going to talk a little bit about the second base situation in Kansas City because, I mean, nothing else has happened this week, right, Mike?
That is the absolute most important thing. Plus, I think we're going to talk a little bit about the eighth inning bullpen situation, as well as the Idaho Falls starting rotation for 2013.
And we're going to
nothing but the most important stuff.
And we're going to weigh in on ideas for new closer music. We got to get that figured.
Oh, absolutely.
But Joel Goldberg's going to have all those hot topics, and maybe we'll talk about something else that's a little pressing as well. Last week we were joined by Jason Parks, and it was almost ironic in a way, but I guess we knew that the trade was out there at the time. But, I mean, we talked a long time about the possibility of Will Myers and James Shields and what Parks thought about it, and, of course, what all of us thought about it. And Parks, always a great guest. He's one of the best guys on the planet, and he's so funny, too, because, like, if you listen to Up and In, you might have a different interpretation of what you would think Jason Parks is like, but he's so nice, and he's so friendly, and I appreciate so much what he has done for us. So if you haven't heard that one, it's still out there at RoyalManReport.com or KingsOfKaufman.com/podcast. We started – Google Plus is doing communities now. They're like Facebook groups. If you have a Google Plus, if you use it once in a while, we've made a at the prodding of some of the Royals fans, I created a Kansas City Royals community. Just go into Google Plus, click on communities, search Kansas City Royals. You will find it. You can add it. There's about 55 people in there right now. It's not real hopping, but there's some decent conversation in there. And it's all respectful, and so that's kind of nice too, because the Facebook group has totally forgotten how to be respectful to each other. Apparently, if you don't share the opinion of certain folks, it's just a bad situation. Apparently, some people have to be right in this world. it just drives
it's
me.
Like The Walking Dead. Everybody wants to be the governor.
Yeah. So, we're going to actually talk about some things that are controversial here today, and we're going to go ahead and start with that with us. And we're still waiting to hear back from Joel. He hasn't responded, but we'll probably be with him in a few minutes. Mike, there was a trade the other day.
There was a trade.
And I declared it the worst trade in Kansas City Royals history. I had forgotten about the David Cone trade because that's locked away somewhere in my head to keep me safe from myself. But in retrospect, I don't feel that it was the worst trade in Royals history. I feel that it's going to be a bad trade. But with the situation the Royals are in, I think adding James Shields and Wade Davis and either a player to be named later or cash for Jake Odorizzi, Monty, and, of course, Mike Montgomery, not the other Monty, and a gentleman by the name that you might have heard of by the name of Will Myers. And the final piece of that was Patrick Leonard, an up-and-coming third baseman from Burlington. Four players to the Tampa Bay Rays. Of course, there's none bigger than Will Myers. And I think everybody would have been okay with the deal when it was just Wade Davis and James Shields. You'd had 2 years of Shields, 5 years of Davis for the 6 controllable years of Will Myers. But then you throw in Odorizzi, which I think that one is the one that pushed a lot of people over the edge. Mike Montgomery, he's going to the best, in my opinion, the best pitching farm in Major League Baseball down in Tampa Bay. And I think they're going to be able to turn him around. I don't think they were going to get him turned around here in Kansas City. So do we just accept that and be like, eh, you know, they have changed their pitching coaches again, and it may have made a difference, with the new philosophies down in the minor leagues. But all in all, Mike Montgomery probably was not going to work out for Kansas City. Only 23, would have probably had time to turn it around, but he's going to get a shot in Tampa Bay, and I would expect to be pretty successful. So most of the pundits out there are saying the Royals have lost this trade. What are they? You know, they got pantsed. However you want to put it. However, JJ Cooper, friend of the program, has been talking to some of the front office guys, and he's pretty well connected. And he had talked to 8 different front office guys. 7 said Kansas City did well in the deal. 1 said that they did not. Kansas City had tried to trade Will Myers straight up for James Shields. They had also tried to trade Will Myers straight up for Brent Anderson over in Oakland. Neither team bid at that, and then that is where you got to the big deal. Some people have asked, what is the player to be named later or cash? Of course, we live in Kansas City, so we just assume it's going to be cash. But if it was going to be cash, I think we would already know. If it was going to be a player to be named later, I would have to assume that either it's somebody that has not reached 1 year since the draft, or they were given a list of players and said, pick one, and they're deciding who they want out of that group. So it's hard to say who the player to be named later is. Probably not David Price, right, Mike?
No, and from what I understand, a player to be named later can't be on the 40-man roster. So that would eliminate just about everybody that's Tampa now. So, but in general, yeah, I think they're trying to narrow down if they have a particular player in mind that they want to go for, or if it's somebody that was drafted last year that signed in June. That would be another thing. They'd be able to complete that trade in the middle of the season. So, I don't know. Eventually, if it's cash, it's probably not going to be that much if they can't come up with something. But, that is how it's going to work is, they get a list or, they have somebody in mind already. Similar to when the Astros and Royals made the Humberto Quintero trade. Player to be named later was DeAndre Toney, who had been drafted and signed the year before. So those things usually come around June, July, if it's somebody like that they kind of have their eye on.
So after you've had a night to rest on it and to really kind of let everything digest, where are you at on the trade?
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out because, like you said, when it came up at first, the first mention that I saw of it was Myers for Shields and Davis. And at that point, I thought, okay, that's a good way to kind of hedge it, because the biggest problem that a lot of people had was that it was 6 years of Will Myers, 7 if you do it right, for 2 years of Shields. But Davis, he does have some extra years of control. You know, he's with options. He's under contract until 2017. You know, that's a nice way to kind of get some value and control over a guy later. And then it kind of came out that there was more to the deal, which, you know, that I think Clint Scholes got something from someone that it was possibly Humberto Arteaga, who is, you know, a shortstop, but not the key shortstop in the organization. And that would have been okay, too. And it would have even been okay to me, I think, if it was Montgomery. But trading Odorizzi as well, it's tough because you've got last year's minor league player of the year. You have Odorizzi, who was, you know, fifth or sixth in the Royal system going into this next year, according to J.J. Cooper and Jason Parks. And then Montgomery, who's been a number one prospect in the Royals organization twice. And, he's... you know, I think somebody who needs a new start someplace else, but still, there's a lot of talent in that. And then it gets to the question of, you know, are the Royals close enough to make a deal like this, and does this put them over the top? And that's kind of where I'm still trying to figure it out. I do really like James Shields. I've always liked James Shields. He's a guy who in the last few years he's increased his strikeouts and still has the same kind of walk rate, still eats 200-plus innings. So he's somebody who legitimately is an opening day starter, which is something the Royals haven't had since, you know, Zach Greinke in 2010. So he does improve the rotation, and if Davis can be a starter, that does give them some depth and some upside too. Still, I mean, it's Will Myers, and that's a big piece to get rid of.
Well, Mike, we are going to take a quick break here and come right back because I have Joel Goldberg sending me a message, and he has said that he is ready. We will get started here, and we'll be right back with Joel Goldberg on the other side.
After a long day, you can only go so far.
Kelly!
You work hard to make the moment right.
Kelly!
You grind it out to make that time yours.
Kelly!
You pound the pavement, only to find you're getting closer.
Kelly!
You find the peak, and the peak finds you.
Kelly!
When you find the time, and she finds the time, make it Kelly's.
Kelly!
Kelly's Westport Inn can cause intimate moments and can also cause members of the opposite sex to appear more or less attractive than they actually are. You should speak to a doctor before attempting Kelly's Westport Inn, as the results might be marriage, children, or a one-night stand. Or it might just involve having some beers with your friends, eating some pizza, and watching the games on TV. I don't know. I talk pretty fast.
Kelly's Westport Inn. You know when.
Kelly's.
Tell them you came for the Royal Man Report.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Troy Olson, Michael Engel here. We are joined now by Joel Goldberg. It took us a minute, which, of course, you folks don't get to hear any of this since it's all edited out, but took us a minute because Joel was having a little bit of trouble with Skype. Apparently, his wife works on it all day, and he could hear us, but we couldn't hear him. But we've got him now. Mr. Joel Goldberg, how are you today?
Well, I'm not very technologically sound, and people probably would assume that I am because I sit in front of a camera, but I'm not the one pushing the buttons, so... I do have all the technology. Sometimes using it is another issue.
So we were joking on at the beginning of the show, and we were joking on Twitter, of course, as well, that we couldn't figure out what we were going to talk to you about today, and then the Royals went and did it for us, and you know, they've got this great second base competition. We thought we'd talk about that a little bit and maybe see what would happen with the eighth inning guy or maybe some new closer music for Greg Holland. But I guess they made a trade or something is what the people are saying. And I guess there's nobody better to kind of weigh in on this than somebody that works with this team every day. What is your opinion of this massive 7-player deal?
Wondering who's going to be the long man next year. It was, I think we all knew something was coming. And I've said to many people many times that oftentimes when there is talk about and rumor about a Royals deal, it usually doesn't happen with the specifics that is rumored, because Dayton does a really good job of keeping that stuff quiet. And really, in a sense, that is what happened here, because we all heard the rumors in the last week or so that Shields and Will Myers were going to be involved in a trade. But I don't think anybody thought that it was going to involve all these other. I never heard anybody say Wade Davis included. We never heard the names Odorizzi and Montgomery. Clearly, both teams were not comfortable with a straight, you know, Will Myers, you know, for James Shields trade. And I know we'll get into everything, including some who believe this is the worst trade ever. I only read that a couple times on Twitter, by the way. but I'll say this, the reaction, I mean, on so many levels, the reaction to this, which at first glance looks like, you know, it looks like, I don't know, pick a trade from the past, John Smoltz, Doyle Alexander. I mean, the reaction from this thing, especially last night, was unbelievably negative. And as the day has kind of gone along, I've seen it sort of balance. It's not as lopsided as I initially thought the reaction was. But the reason for all this is so fascinating on so many levels, from a standpoint of sabermetrics, blogs, what's the way to build it. There are so many different levels on top of the fact that some things are happening here that haven't happened in a lot of years. And I know this much, that one, people are talking about the Royals, not just in Kansas City and not just the day after. They should be talking about the Chiefs, should or shouldn't, whatever you want to say. All talk radio in town today, like 90% of it, the day after a Chiefs game, was Royals. They're talking about it nationally. It's what every national writer wrote about today. It's what every blogger is writing about today. It's trending everywhere. And I think whether you like it or don't, the Royals are in the forefront today.
And it was, I got home, and at about this time every day I get an email from SI that just kind of gives some lead stories, because I used to be a subscriber, and that was the headline in the email, was the trade. You know, it's been, like you said, it's been everywhere, it's been all the talk, and it's kind of crazy to think that the Royals are in that forefront. We'll stay right with something you mentioned, and you mentioned how some people might have said it was the worst trade ever. I might have been guilty of saying that last night. And I have definitely come around to thinking. Some people reminded me last night right away, and this has come up several times today as well when people have talked about it. But many believe that the Cone and Chris Jellick for Ed Hearn, Rich Anderson, and Mario Gazzo trade that sent Cone to the Mets is the worst trade in Royals history. And there's some definite ones to to compete with, but this looked pretty bad on paper at first, and then you kind of had to think about the fact that, yes, Will Myers has all the makings to be a megastar. I mean, players that have won the Minor League Player of the Year have went on, like 9 out of 10 have went on to be major, major players. That's something that Rob Nyer talked about. Rob Nyer, of course, a Royals fan, so I think maybe he was reaching back to a little bit of his fandom as well as being a journalist, and he did declare it very possibly the worst trade in Royals history. What has to happen for this trade to work?
Well, let's talk first off what would have to happen for it not to work, for it to be the worst trade in history, okay? Because you just mentioned some names there. And I'll ask both of you guys this question. The names that you just mentioned going for David Cohn, and that's just one of the bad trades. Does anyone think James Shields or Wade Davis will be that?
No.
Okay. So that right off the bat says the whole darn thing was an overreaction. Okay? And it wasn't like an overreaction, like, oh, yeah, I remember that David Cohn trade. No, everybody remembers that. They didn't just get a bunch of crap back, first of all. Let's at least just raise the bar a little bit so that it's not at the bottom where everybody had it. I think that's what some people did when they woke up today and started to think, okay, it's not too bad. What else? So what would make it a disaster? What would make it a disaster is if James Shields got hurt right away, you know, serious injury, and I could hear, you know, hear the voices, the peanut gallery chiming in, well, it's the Royals, that'll happen. It might, but you know what, it happens to everybody. not just the Royals, actually. But that would obviously, you know, hurt. And maybe Wade Davis doesn't make it into the rotation. And so you get all of that. And then on top of that, Will Myers becomes, you know, a perennial All-Star. That would make it one of the worst trades ever. But the expectation, I don't think, from people is that that's going to happen. So what would make it work? What would make it work is, for starters this year, for the Royals, if not winning the division, to be in the race and be relative all year long. Because I've said as long as I've been here, and we saw it some late last season too, if the Royals are in a race, and I don't mean one game out either. I mean, and obviously that'd be great. I mean, if you remember where they were, what was it? They went on that bad run, that bad run before the All-Star break, but they were four games out before that last road trip. You know, if they're maintaining that kind of pace, they're in the mix, like the White Sox and the Tigers were last year. Kauffman Stadium will be close to packed every single night. You won't hear the thing about all schools starting again. People are going to want to be there. So that would make it a success. I do think that they need to make the playoffs here in one of the next 2 years. And I think in one thing that I know Dayton Moore has talked about, and it's something that I remember now, I think almost 6 years ago, I remember interviewing him. I was in with the Cardinals, and I think I was doing something about Adam Wainwright because he had him in Atlanta. And he talked about needing to change the culture here so that people – and he was talking about people within the organization, people in town, that people didn't actually believe that all we ever do is lose, you know, that it's okay to win. This is how you win. And I think that if they can find some of that success, and a lot of that will come from the rotation, and then there's the trickle down, and they start to win, and people actually start to – and people that have never seen a winner before, right? I mean, if you're 30 – if you're in your early 30s, you've never seen a winner.
Yep.
So I think all of that needs to happen. And the bottom line here, and then we could discuss all you guys want, why it's a good trade, why it's a bad trade, why people that have been talking for years about just can you just get us some damn pitching now want to jump off of a bridge. But the fact of the matter is that a Royals rotation last year, and you guys can help me with this, that opened up, what, Chen, Hochaver, Sanchez, who was four, and then Mendoza was in there, right? Duffy and
Duffy was in there.
And Mendoza, Wilson.
I think Mendoza and then Paulino came back.
Paulino came back a month later. This rotation will start the year with at least four new faces, if not five.
Yep.
And this rotation will start with a guy, that if your definition, it's not included in your definition of an ace, then he's not far off. And I'd love to debate that one too. But they have their first legitimate number one type of pitcher since Zach Greinke. And really the only two that I've seen since I've been here.
One thing that Kevin Goldstein and Jason Park said a lot on Up and In when they used to do that show was that there are very few true aces in baseball, but James Shields is as close as you're going to get to a real number one, I think. You know, even they even said at the time, about a year ago, that they wouldn't even consider Greinke a true ace. Now, yes, he's a definite number one, but you know, where does he fall in? And I've seen some comparisons between Shields and Greinke, which aren't they don't seem that far apart. I've never been a numbers guy when it comes to baseball. I've always been the fan eye. So it's a little more difficult for me on if how close they are. But I guess the big question, and it seems to be the worry for a lot of the folks out on Twitter last night, is obviously this means good things for 2013. But what does it mean? Well, first off, how good can this team be in 2013? And then what does it mean beyond 2013?
I think that for 2013, they can be a mid-80s, an 85-win team. I think that should be expected. And then, you know, you start getting into that mix, maybe 90 wins does become possible. If you're in that mid-80s range, you're in the discussion for the division, because you know it probably won't be 100 wins to win this division. So, you know, I think – and then let's look at a couple things here. They have him for 2013 and 2014. I get the angst over trading a guy that has 6 years, or really almost seven, for two. But good teams do this all the time. It's a big boy trade. We haven't made big boy trades. Because what has happened in Kansas City, and I'm guilty of this, in this world of blogs and available information, and let's be honest, guys, the blogosphere really thrives with minor leaguers because most people don't ever get a chance to see them. And that's where you get your information. And that's how you fall in love with these guys. And I'm guilty of it because, you know what, the Royals might be in a 6-8, a 10-game losing streak. And quite honestly, it might be more exciting to talk about Will Myers went 5-for-5 that night, you know, and updating that and trying to come up with something new to talk about and something to look forward to. I think people have been programmed here in this town, and it's one of the reasons, on top of being an incredible baseball town, why the futures game sold out and why it hasn't sold out other places. Mm-hmm. We know our futures very well because for many years, it's all we've had to look forward to. But teams develop players to move them. And did the Royals give up too much? They might have. They very well might have. That seems to be the sentiment around baseball. But I know you guys have read all day the articles, and there are articles from both sides. I mean, I had a friend of mine that's pretty knowledgeable that said he thought I was the only person he had heard that liked this trade. And I've read Twitter of all the national people, and I said, wait a minute, you're not reading the same national people I'm reading. Because Ken Rosenthal thought it was a good, bold move, and Danny Nobler thought it was a good move, and on and on. And I've been reading these guys all day long, and I don't think anybody has sat there and said, the Royals just killed it on this trade. But everybody says the Royals now are a player. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking about places that I've been before or places that I go, you know, with the team where – they may or may not know as much about their prospects as we do. Again, maybe they haven't had to, but they're not afraid to make those trades. And I do think it's interesting, and I'm sure you a lot of people in Tampa that don't think it was a good trade for them. So there are a lot of sides to this, but I think that if you are trying to win now and you have a belief, too, that you have a system beyond one or two guys – that you can make a trade like this because you know you still have the Jorge Bonifacios and the Bubba Starlings and the Yordano Venturas, and the Kyle Zimmers and on and on. And that's what they did say all along is we need to keep churning out players. This isn't just a let's go get a good crop and then be done. So really to me, what will make this trade successful beyond the obvious is if they have those players to start filling in the pieces when 2 years comes up.
I want to go back a little bit to where you're talking about how the city is programmed in a sense to kind of, you know, look at these prospects. And that's a very good point because from my perspective as a blogger, it is a lot easier to go look down the line and see who's succeeding while the Royals are in the middle of a four game losing streak or five game or whatever. And
it's
kind of hope on what. Yeah, and there was Sam Mellinger had a good column about that today, and Joe Posnanski also had a reaction where he posed the question of, you know, is Alex Gordon now after two great seasons, you know, MVP down ballot votes, two gold gloves, you know, 60 plus extra base hits, does he have more trade value today than he did on, say, March 1st, 2007? And, you know, the answer to that is, yeah, his value in 2007 when he was – before he made his major league debut, you know, he had a lot more trade value because people still had something to dream on. Whereas, you know, Myers could have jumped out first month, struggled, chased every slider, struck out just the same as he did in Omaha, but without the homers. And, you know, right there, you know, his trade value takes a hit. So I think that makes sense. It is a tough trade process when you follow these guys and when you get the minor league player of the year. But, you know, I like James Shields. I really like James Shields a lot, and like you said, he is a legit number one guy who can go out on opening day and, you know, compete with anybody else. And even if it comes down to the Royals are in a one-game playoff, he's the guy you can put on the mound with confidence. Whereas last year, you know, who would you put out there? Jeremy Guthrie towards the end of the year. Before they got him, it would have been Bruce Chen, maybe. Well, and that's a significant upgrade.
You didn't have, and no one's saying that Guthrie's a one either. I know some people think they overpaid right. $325. I know some people say they paid just based on that. The interesting thing, this is, I'm getting off completely on a tangent, but the interesting thing on Guthrie, and this includes the bad of Colorado, the good of Kansas City, is that the last 3 years he's a 4.28 ERA, and in his career he's a 4.28 ERA. He's a low fours ERA pitcher, having pitched in Baltimore, but he was a guy that showed that he could be that stopper. You don't need to be number one, but they didn't have anybody. I don't know that, you know, the team believes when Bruce Chen goes out there, they believe in him, but there's a certain guy where you just say, and Greinke had this, where you say, you know what, we think we're going to win when he's out there. Like, we really believe. So when you're in that 5 or 6 game losing streak or 4 game, okay, well, today's the day we end it because he's going. And that's what they're going to have in Shields. I read Posnanski's column today, and I will say what I've always said. He's one of the best writers in this country. I read his column back from when the Yankees trade was made. He did not like the trade today. But I noticed his final line after the Greinke trade was, and I wrote this down, everybody's got prospects, but now only Milwaukee has Zach Greinke. So
right.
Why didn't that apply for Shields today? Well, I think that the Royals have a history of things not working out and messing things up or whatever it is, and maybe there's not a belief there. But this was the reverse of the Greinke trade. We're on the other side of this now, and they can say, well, I don't know, it was different, or who knows. I mean, there were definitely different parts. But I'll ask you guys this question because I think it's a good debate. Who won the Greinke trade with Milwaukee?
Well, I've said that the Royals did. I believe that though because Jake Odorizzi was going to be a decent 3-4-5 starting pitcher, and Escobar is what he is. I mean, you know, he's called around here, he's called shortstop Jesus, and I mean, that kind of a title on a guy. And then Lo Kane, if he can stay healthy, is a real valuable piece of your outfield. Now you take Jake Odorizzi out of it, or do you say that, you know, that you add Shield, you know, Davis or Shields or part of them to the deal? But either way, even without Odorizzi, I would still say, especially with the extension, that what you get out of Escobar is better than what you would have gotten out of 2 years of Greinke, especially 2 years of Greinke at the time that we would have had it.
And I view it as a win solely on what Escobar did last year in the contract. And that might be a little bit of a reach because it's only 1 year. Like, I feel a lot better about what Gordon did now because it's been 2 years. Like, I feel like we know what Gordon is now. I still feel like, I think we know what Escobar is defensively, because what we saw from him, you know, the last 2 years was the defense they saw in Milwaukee too. We're just starting to see the hitting come around, you know, the last year plus. As long as that hitting stays somewhat close to that, and I think he's going to win gold gloves at some point, I think that just based on that and the contract alone, you could even make an argument for that deal, just because of the positioning plays. But the reason why I brought that up was, and I think we all always want to know who wins a trade. We want to know who wins a trade when it happens, and we want to go back later and say who wins it. It really doesn't matter unless it kills you, right? Like, I mean, like the old Herschel Walker trade. I mean, if it changes an organization long term, but there are a lot of times where multiple teams can win a trade, and I don't know what's ultimately going to happen with this. I think this is going to make the Royals better. But when I talk to people I know up in Wisconsin, I lived up for 10 years, I've got decent contacts, and I have posed this question to them before. One, they don't give a rat's a about what Alcides Escobar is doing. They remember him as a guy that couldn't hit a lick, that could play good shortstop. They know that Zach Greinke took them to the playoffs. And I remember asking that year, I said, Greinke got us to the playoffs. We haven't been in a long time. He did it. And now they ended up turning him, you know, into a shortstop. We could debate tit for tat, but the point is that for different reasons, both teams believe they won something there. And this is kind of the reverse of it. And then I was looking, and I know Mike retweeted this today, but I was just sort of surprised by it. Let me ask you guys this question. Do you, and I have an opinion on this, it'll surprise you. Do you view Zach Greinke as an ace? As a number, not an ace, a number one?
Oh, I kind of mentioned earlier that I see him as a one, but Mike, you take this.
A number one, yeah, number one. You know, he has won a Cy Young Award there. I think he does fall in a lot better if, you know, where he's at in Los Angeles behind Kershaw. Agreed. Is a perfect situation for him. So I you know, he can maybe be an ace and a half, you know, half of an ace. I don't know. But I certainly think that he's got the potential to be one year to year, but maybe not every year. You know, he's not in the same category as Verlander and Hernandez and what we think Steven Strasburg is going to be. But I think he's, you know, easy number one.
See, because I have you, and I felt this way before the trade. I think there's probably, and you guys can fill in the blanks here, maybe six or seven number ones in baseball. I mean, Halday was one. He's not, you know, he's not at this point. And I do think that a one, like, you know, it's interesting what you just said, Mike. I mean, I think that a one is someone who is going to be a one every year. It's not, you know, a one and then close to a one. I mean, to me, the ones are Verlander. You know what you're getting. On a bad year for him, it's still better than anybody in baseball. Felix Hernandez. I think Jared Weaver is in that class. I think David Price is there. CC Sabathia is still there. Even when he's slipping, it's like maybe it's not what he once was, but yet you just know that if you need him, you know what I mean? He's still there on the tail end. I don't know if I mentioned Jared. Yeah, I mentioned Jared Weaver. I mean, there's a very small handful. And so to me, I've kind of felt like Greinke is either the very bottom of that tier or the top of the next tier, which still isn't that big, you know, sort of like a 1A. And so I had a lot of people, you know, kind of questioning on Twitter, you know, stop calling him an ace, talking about Shields and all that kind of stuff. And it was interesting to hear a lot of people today, from Ken Rosenthal to Jim Bowden, who didn't like the trade but loves Shields, calling Shields an ace. And so I had some people, you know, asking about that, and I asked him, do you think Greinke's a one? And that's when, you know, Mike, you saw it. I threw out the numbers, and I'll throw them out for people that missed him. It was fascinating to me because, okay, so the last 2 years, Greinke 31 wins, Shields 31 wins. Greinke's 31 and 11, Shields 31 and 22. Greinke a 3.63 ERA, Shields 3.15. Greinke 401 strikeouts, Shields 448. Greinke 384 innings, Shields 477. Now we missed some time because of that basketball injury, remember, but that's a pretty big, that's almost 100 inning difference. And then this 247 opponents batting average for Greinke, 228 for Shields. And of course, you guys know, Mike, you're more the numbers guy. We could start talking about strikeouts per nine. I mean, Greinke's better with that. But my point was, they're not that far off. And when I threw that out there, I suddenly started getting some people saying, oh, and I don't, I think that, and maybe I'm not talking hardcore fans, I don't know. But I think that we have a comfort level with Zach Greinke here in Kansas City. Like even, you know, in LA, I'm sure they're debating right now, can he handle the pressure? You know, where's his mind at and all that kind of stuff. And we sort of all knew how to live with that because we had heard the interviews, we'd been around him, and we kind of, for the most part, knew what we were going to get. There were some question marks at the end there. But I think fans in general have a comfort level with how good Zach Greinke is here. They know. And I don't know that they really know that much about James Shields. They see him once, maybe twice a year, once in person, maybe a year. And I don't know that anybody really realized, oh, wait a minute, he's as good as Zach Greinke? Oh, okay. Well, now there's at least some familiarity with that. And so I just thought that was interesting. And I threw out the other tweet that Shields' 14 completions are the most in baseball in the last 2 years, ahead of Felix and Verlander, who have 10 in that time. Greinke hasn't had any. And that's not to knock Greinke. I don't know that anybody's worth $147 million, but they got themselves an ace here, I believe. And the one other thing that I think separates Shields from Greinke is that Greinke wasn't a leader. Okay, I mean, we know about the flaws, we know about the good, we know about the quirks, about the conditions, but Greinke was not that guy that was going to come there and rally the troops or help out the guys. And days were. But from everything everybody says, James Shields is the guy that really helped make David Price and Jeremy Hellickson and Matt Moore and Wade Davis and all these guys in Tampa as far as their work ethic. And this is how you do it. And this is – so the Royals might actually be getting something that actually acts like like an ace two. And I don't, you know, there's no numbers that can quantify that. And that's part of the whole saber versus scout debate. I mean, that doesn't fit any number.
Well, you know, how much of this, you were kind of talking about Greinke in the clubhouse and how he wasn't a leader. One thing that a lot of people around town have said is the Royals don't have a true leader. Do we get that in James Shields? Does he bring a little bit of a leadership, maybe that him and Francoeur can kind of together, you know, hold these kids responsible and say, you know, the problem with Francoeur is he seems like he's everybody's nice guy. You know, you need somebody that when you're in the middle of, God forbid, another six-game losing streak or something like that, that can really get on these guys and say, hey, this isn't how we play baseball here in Kansas City. We're a winning team. We've got to change this and fix it. Is Shields that kind of guy?
Yeah, and I don't know what his demeanor is as far as is he going to jump somebody or not. But from the interviews I've heard today, from the people that know him, he was that guy. He is the guy that is going to step up and take responsibility when things go bad. He is the guy that's going to let people know they're not doing it the right way, embrace the role of ace. He's going to be the guy that answers to the media and steps on the stage when things are good. He's going to be the guy that steps up when things are bad. He's going to be the guy that confronts or talks to his teammates and helps lead them to where they need to go by example. And it sounds like verbally. So that's obviously a big deal. I don't know that you have to have that, but I think when you're trying to develop, and they're still trying to develop pitching, and then look, they still have a lot of young guys. It's a very young team, even with some experience now, that I do think it becomes more important. On the hitting side of things, because typically you'll have a leader, a rotation type of guy, you'll have a bullpen type of guy, and you'll have, you know, a position player that's a leader. And by the way, Jeremy Guthrie, from everything I saw last year, was very much a leader too, because he's got experience. He came in, he was doing well, and that's another key. It's tough to lead if you're not doing well. Guys respect Bruce. Young guys will actually look up to Luke Hochaver, but we know that he's battling to find success. Guthrie came in right away, and I often saw crowds around him. I think they're going to have two veteran presences in Shields and Guthrie, and possibly Chen. From the hitting side, yes, everybody loves Jeff Francoeur. He is a leader. But I actually saw, and I don't know if people have talked about this or not, I saw more leadership from Alex Gordon last year, and I think he's becoming one of the leaders of this team. It's more silent, more quiet, fitting his personality, but no one's going to outwork him and the success he's having and his experience here, how many years he's been here. And actually Salvador Perez, because he's young, but who's going to argue with his energy? Just infectious personality, and he's around the Latin guys all the time, but he's also around the young guys like Hosmer and Moustakas, and they all love him, and he's got some feistiness to him too. So I think this team won't be shy of leaders, which I know will thrill everybody in the blogosphere.
If it leads to win, I'll take it. I'm fine with that. It's just, I wish there was a number we could put beside it.
It's hard, the dichotomy between, you know, when I say blog, sabermetric community versus the scouting community. But there are things you can't quantify. There's no question about it. You know, when I hear figuring out WAR and what Myers would have been versus Shields, it gets back to what we were saying before too. How much is added in WAR to knowing that you've got a guy that every 5 days is going to step out there and give you something you haven't had before? The confidence that gives the team, the innings that he's going to plug and all that. So I think I've told you guys before that in baseball, You got to pay attention to everything. I think you got to pay attention to numbers. I think you got to pay attention to opinions and observations, personalities. You know, I've many times before heard people in the sabermetric community predict a guy is going to do something and then he doesn't. And then the next year they say, oh, he was going through a divorce. You can't factor that stuff in. This game is still played by humans. Many of whom have trends and many of whom have sample sizes, but there's a lot that can't be quantified either. And I think that goes into some of this discussion, you know, with Myers and Shields and all of that in this debate.
You hit on something there that I kind of wanted to mention, and I don't want you to give specifics or anything because I don't want you to ruin your relationship with any of the Royals. But, you know, we had Jason Parks on, and he made a remark about that some of the problems with Hosmer last year may have been off the field, just being a kid in a big man's world and, you know, coming into, you know, the ability to be the big man in town. There's nobody bigger in Kansas City last year than Eric Hosmer, and then he came out this year and was sliding a little. Do you think that's what it was for Hosmer? Was some of the off the field stuff?
I don't know if it was so much off the field. But I mean, you're right. I wouldn't out anybody from because of what I do in relationships if I knew stuff. And I'm old enough now where I probably don't need to be hanging out with the 22 and 23 year olds anyway. Doesn't mean I'm not out from time to time. But hanging out with the older folks and the older music, I guess, at this point. But I hadn't really, you know, honestly heard about a whole lot of distractions off the field. Again, maybe there were some, but I do think that, you know, there is a lot of pressure on them. I mean, because look, young guys go out, young guys do things. It's true of any guy on any team. And, you know, you want to keep them safe. You want to keep them out of trouble and all that stuff. And we didn't hear any kind of legal stuff or anything like that. But I do think in Jason Park's team, we might have heard some things that from a pressure standpoint and failing really for the first time. I mean, I know he had the year in, Wilmington, I think, right?
With Wilmington,
the hand injury and all that. There was at least a reason for that, but I don't know that he's ever struggled like he did last year where you're desperately trying to fight your way out of it and you've always been the man and you haven't done that. So I think there was a lot of that and pressure mounting and mounting and mounting and mounting. So I do think that there was something there. That's the definition of a sophomore slump. I'm not sure. Is it still the worst trade
ever? Yeah.
No, it's not. And I'm off this worst trade ever. I think I may have overreacted a little. God forbid that somebody on Twitter actually overreact about something. I just, you know, I want so bad to see a winner in this town.
It's part of Twitter.
Yeah, we're all invested. And, I there are a couple of different things over the past week. And, you know, the winter meetings were crazy for this, too, because, you know, every 5 minutes there's somebody else saying something that they've heard or maybe a whisper in a hallway. And at one point there was Bob Dutton said something about the potential of a third year for Ryan Dempster if the Royals were looking to sign him. And, you know, and Twitter went crazy then, too. You know, flew all over the place, you know, really upset about the idea of it. And then like an hour later, there was more talk about Myers for Shields and, you know, it was a new thing. You know, I think it's just one of the side effects of having a lot of people talking about the same things, kind of looking for something to happen. But I think we all kind of want the ideal thing. I think, yeah, I mean, who would have been upset if the Royals could have gotten James Shields without trading Will Myers or Eric Hosmer or, you know, whomever? You know, obviously that would be a perfect world. But you do have to give something to get something. Unfortunately for the Royals, they have to give up, you know, their top prospect. But they do, you know, get one of the best pitchers in baseball and one of the guys who can go out there and on any given night, he can go 9 innings for you.
Well, I'll wrap up with this, but, do you, Joel, do you think the Royals are done or is Dayton still got some cards to play?
I don't think they're done. You know, I think that still looking at what the original offseason business was, you know, I think that they were probably going to want to go out there and at least explore a utility man, which would then, you know, end the debate that we were going to have today about Irving Falou or Tony Abreu. I don't know if that's still on the list or not, but I think it's something that they could do. And I think now there'll be a goal to potentially move one of those extra starters, whether it be a Chen or a Hochaver or someone like that, depending on what they got back, because they can afford to do that. And I think that and they don't need to. Maybe that's something that happens in spring training. But I do think that they're going to want to go out there and find somebody that can also play right field, because I don't think that the leash on Frank Kaur will be as long this year. I really don't. Mm-hmm. That if you see him looking like last year, then I don't think that they're going to stick with that as long as they did last year. I think if you see him looking like 2 years ago, then obviously they will. And all teams, by the way, they defer to the veterans like that. It's not just a Royals thing. Almost any manager in baseball, that's the way managers work. And when managers don't work that way, they're not respected by their teams. But I think that's it. I mean, you know, maybe it's you know, I don't know that they would go after another pitcher. I mean, I guess if the right thing were out there, but I think you got to feel pretty good about this rotation. And, you know, it's pretty safe to say that the opening day matchup of which should be James Shields versus Chris Sale should be pretty fun. And, you know, I'm excited. Did they give up too much? It looks like they might have, but we don't know. This is just new for all of us. We're not used to trading prospects. We're used to getting them. And we're not used to – I know I've been hearing – you know, I got a message from my brother-in-law last night, and he follows the blogs and he reads everything. He's not a sabermetric savvy guy, but his arm can easily be twisted. And he told me after the trade, and I thought he was going to, after reading everything, be pissed. And he said, you know what? And he's about 50 years old, 49 years old. He said, I'm sick of waiting. He's like, you know, it'd be nice once to just go for it. And I think they're doing that. And I think that they're not as recklessly doing it as people think they are. I think the price of doing business, you guys just mentioned, in an ideal world, we'd love to get, you know, Shields without having to give up our top prospect. Yeah. But if you don't give up a top prospect, you probably got to give up Hosmer or Moustakas or someone like that, or Salvador Perez. You're not doing that. I know everybody wishes, well, this would have been better if we could have got Matt Moore. You're not getting Matt Moore unless you're giving up a couple of those. People really, for Matt Moore, it'd be better. Well, if it were David Price, it's not happening. And so, you know, they got a guy that has the second most innings pitched in baseball over the last 2 years, has the third most strikeouts in baseball in the last 2 years, has the most complete game in baseball in the last 2 years. And I'm not sure that a lot of people – I think more people are familiar with what they hope Will Myers is than what they actually got from James Shields.
Well, let's hope that that is the case. It would be nice to see the Royals, quote-unquote, win this trade. Like you said, I think the Greinke trade was a win for both teams, and hopefully we'll look back on this one in 4 or 5 years and see it the same way. First off, thanks again to Joel. This is actually the third time Joel's been on with us. And when we started doing this a little under 2 years ago, I would have never imagined that we would have had any of the guests that we've had, but let alone had Joel Goldberg three times. Once back in our old studio, he filled in for me while I was in Canada announcing roller derby. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for the times that you've spent with us. And we really appreciate all the information you provide. We'll have somebody for you next week. We're not quite sure who. I've got a couple of feelers out, but we'll have somebody out there for you. Joel, I'll go ahead and ask you this now. Hopefully we can get you back on during spring training. There is some more that I think we'd like to ask you just kind of off the fun line about, you know, some of working with Rex Hudler and some of those type of questions, well, but we'll save those unless you have something to add to that.
Can I share a few fun tweets today? One was about Rex. I thought I could empty my my messages to you guys because I thought you'd at least enjoy them.
Go for it.
Sure.
I won't mention names. Doesn't really matter. I mean, you guys know I typically don't tweet the ridiculous stuff. I stick to just, I don't know, some form of normalcy on Twitter, and that's not really fun, I know. But one guy first said to me, don't be a company shill, Joel. This trade napalmed our future for 2 years of maybe 80 wins, which is fine. You know, I try to reply to a lot. He later said, I apologize for calling you a company shill. That was first stage of anger. Then followed up with, what kind of language, by the way, can I use?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Hey, whatever.
It's not even that bad, but he said, I'm sorry. He continued, I'm sorry you have to deal with a-holes like me. I do think you're a great add to the broadcast, and I respect your opinion. So there's somebody that was calming down. And then this one from earlier today, I replied. I think the guy might have favorited it. He said, is there any talks of trading Rex Hudler, or does he still have negative trade value? So I texted Rex, and I asked him, and Rex said, he said Madden wanted him in the deal, but it fell through. Sorry, you're stuck with me. A very small sampling of some of the interesting things that I got. And I'll just close with this. I mean, I really believe this is a good trade. I believe it costs a lot. We'll see who wins down the road. I know that the Royals actually have a legitimate rotation right now, and people around baseball really think if they gave up a lot that they are legitimate contenders or at least players right now, and I haven't heard that in my time here. But I will say that while I think some of the opinions, like worst trade ever, have been misguided, sorry, Troy, and some people, I'm sure, think misguided, it's been pretty awesome to see the amount of people that care about this. I mean, I've had some people say I'm done with this team forever, but those are the people that last time said they were done with this team forever. That's true. That's my kid saying, you know, I'm never talking to you again. And then they come out of the room a half hour later. It doesn't even have to be their mother's basement. I said that with all love. I'm in my basement right now. It's not my mother's, fortunately. But no, that was said with all love. But it really has been pretty awesome over the last this trade broke. About, what, 21 hours ago from when we're recording right now. It's been pretty awesome to see the amount of people that are interested in this locally and nationally. And I think that proves what a lot of us know, that this is a good baseball town.
Well, and I agree with all that. And real quick, because my fiance and her friend are going to run me out of this room if I don't hurry up. I did want to say Rex Hudler was on with the guys over the Pine Tar Press podcast, and we love those guys. We can't speak enough good about them. And Rex did some great stories on there, and I think it gives you a different side of him. So if you're one of those folks out there that really can't stand Rex Hudler, I really, really encourage you to go listen to that podcast over at Pine Tar Press with Hudler. I think it'll give you a little different view of the guy. I was totally fired up after listening to it, and maybe it's because I'm a Christian, but even D.B. Lesky, who's a Jew, said that, you know, just listening to Hudler and his stories that's how he said it. That's his words, I know. Not mine.
I just love how you say it.
he goes, hey, funny. I'm a Jew and I loved it. So, but he just fires you up. He makes you feel good. So I know we don't see a lot of that in the broadcast, and we'd love to get some more of your Rex Hudler stories and what have you at a later time.
I've got a lifetime's worth. All I know, I'll finish with this. And by the way, I didn't get a happy Hanukkah from Rex. So I don't know what that says about me being a Jew. I got a message this morning from a guy on our crew who is a really good member of our crew, but he knows the game, but he doesn't pay attention like to Twitter and all that stuff. So I saw this morning, he said, did we seriously trade Will Myers? It's a joke, right? But he had no idea who he got. And I just figured, oh gosh, here we go again. Now I'm getting it from, you know, like a good friend. And I said, no. And we got, who'd we get? James Shields and Wade Davis. Well, he had texted me and Rex. Suddenly Rex jumps in, and you can hear him saying this, but what you hear from Rex on the air is what you hear from Rex off the air and in text messages. So the text to Rex, to both of us, is, shock the house, big game James, let's win now, yes. So then my guy from the crew who worships Rex, which would call into question his taste and character, that's said with love too. He says, if Rex likes it, so do I. And then Rex said, and I could use this line, he told me I could use it. He said, if you can trade a boy to get a man, go for it. So that was Rex's take on this, and I will echo what you guys said. I mean, he says things every day, Rex, that I'm like, you just said what? But we have a lot of fun. He and he'll be the first to tell you, you don't have to like him, but you know, he took a lot of abuse last year. But I'm telling you, I'll come on. We can do an hour just on Rex stories.
Well, we'll set up a time with you closer to spring training so we can talk about what's going on down in Arizona, because I'll be down there next year. I'll be living down there next year, but this year I don't think I'll be there in time for spring training. So I do want to thank Michael Engel, of course, my co-host, and Joel Goldberg for taking the time to come on with us. I'd also like to thank my fiance and her friend for letting me interrupt their movie to finish this up on a wired connection so that we could get this done. You know, just hang in there, Royals fans. It may not be as bad as it looks. And if this gets us to the playoffs or beyond, and James Shields has already said he'd be interested in signing a long-term deal, so maybe it works out for the best in the end. But for Mike and Joel, I'm Troy. Go Royals. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye. What you trying to be yourself for? Got to get his wife to figure this out.
Okay.
I probably could have tried to walk him through it.
That's awesome.
I wonder if we get to give him a hard time about that.
Oh, we have to.
Doobie doobie doo.
Oh my goodness.
Why can't one of these come off without a hitch?
Hello?
Hello.
You can give me all the crap you want.
she works on Skype every day. So now, all right, what do I do now?
For what?
I don't know. I'll just see them.
Oh, you can't see us. We don't have it set up for the video.
Okay, so we're just talking.
Just talking.
All right.
You don't need the same.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. All right.
That's for your courtesy and protection, actually.
Yeah.
I saw a couple faces up there. Yes. Can you guys hear me okay, or do you want me to plug the microphone in?
You're fine.
All right.
But yes, thank you, Ms. Goldberg, for getting that figured out.
She's gone. She doesn't want to hear any baseball talk.
She probably hears it every day, doesn't she?
She tunes it out.
All right. Well, let me treat this like I'm bringing it back in from break, and we'll rock and roll.
Yeah, you guys can give me any crap you want.
Yay, Gremlins.
Who am I to, criticize technology?
Exactly.